Down to brass tacks, hello. Good morning.
Mr. Ellis, good morning to you.
Yes, morning.
I am going to ask you to, I don't think you'd have the paper in front of you, but Saturday's Sun, last week, that is gone, I want to deal with a matter because I believe that the station is capable of getting this done. Based on the fact that there is a photograph of a house in St. Joseph, and the heading says St. Joseph Family Fair's house will collapse. Now, I believe you would have seen the condition of that house. I would have read the article based on the person who lives in the house, occupants. Now, I'm appealing to any civil organization or people who are in a position to help, if you really care, that the condition of this house merits some quick assistance to the family. And having read the article where the rural development is concerned, where the lady said that she would live on the spot for a period of time, the previous owner had died, and had gave it to somebody else, and that person had died. So she cannot work on that spot for reconstruction. But I believe that rural would have the right to research from the land registry who was the previous owners of the spot. And since that is the case, then it can make, there should be a move into allowing the person or person to start working towards having access to the repairs to the house or replacement of the house. That is to say that if the house spot is in arrears, land tax arrears, previous owner, no dead owner, there is a possibility that the land could be acquired. And the land could be acquired by rural in the true sense for repairs to provide this family with access to better living condition. Because if we take the location of this house by itself, St. Joseph, I realize that quite a couple of weeks ago, there was the acquisition of a barn on Bay Street and the demolition of that barn. I believe that This family deserves some type of help. They deserve the help that not only from the parliamentary representative, but they deserve the help from several Barbados and several people who are of the parish. I know that sometime back, Ms. Ellis, and I compliment the station, is that there was a shortage of water in the same parish. And your station was instrumental in moving a whole set of water to various parts of the parish.
Have you checked to find out what steps have been taken to help this family since this matter was published?
Well, obviously you and I will now get the steps, because all we have read over the weekend is that this house is badly needed repairs.
Yeah, but usually when things like that occur, certainly the first response usually comes from government agencies, but even other people in the society respond. So I don't know that I would expect that you're going to get that kind of movement on this matter. And it might be better for you to do some homework before.
I agree with you. Thanks for your advice. But over the weekend, based on the fact that the paper appeared on Saturday, based on the fact that there is a rural district, rural commission that is working on this, based on the fact that the lady said that there were two owners and she don't know the last owner, I think phase one of this would mean that we should be hearing from the rural, based on the person who wrote the article.
Okay, Mark. We'll wait and see what happens. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Hello. Welcome to the program. This story in Britain with respect to Dominic Cummins and the pressure that is being applied to him and the administration. It would be interesting when you make comparisons between what happens in countries like Britain and what happens in countries like ours, where in this instance they are saying that it seems as though there is one rule for Downing Street and the people who are close to the Prime Minister, and a different rule for the rest of the country. And these, I mean, they are just going after this particular issue from so many different angles. It is just amazing. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Welcome.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, what I call about, I find that I got two little points, not long.
Mm-hmm.
One is now the children doing school work, where they sit radios in the area where it's extremely loud. That's one. Number two, my little grandson yesterday come to me and tell me, grandfather, I want to borrow the hair machine. And he went home and put a boot onto that machine. And he cut his own hair because he had a lot on tidy, the t-shirt. So she said, it's best if you to get a haircut, a hair looking untidy. So he cut the hair. So I think that if his teacher see him on the street, she have the privilege to ask him what he's doing on the street this by the time go off the street. What do you think about that?
Well, the teacher spoke to him directly, right? She didn't speak to him in the presence of other children or anything like that?
No, he speak to him online.
Online? Okay. And he did it all himself. How old is yours?
He did it all himself. He's 11 plus.
Okay.
He put on the boot on the machine, and he cut his own hair yesterday. When I saw it, I said, wait, I got it look real good. He said he put one glass at the front and one at the back, and he stand up in the bathroom and cut it himself.
Okay, there you go.
So I think that the teacher for teacher concerned about you, she will look all out for you. If I win old baggy pants, and my son wearing old baggy pants, well, we are too alike. We can't tell you one another, she, why, or who.
All right, well, congratulate your grandson for taking the initiative to do so.
I think that although you are not at school, and the teacher saw your condition, and she ain't satisfied with it, I think she got a way to tell you. So if she tell one, two, and three here, they will know that to go and get the grandfather, the grandmother, the aunt, the sister cut hair. I have never had a haircut from a barber. My father no cut my hair all the time. And it wasn't no scissors. It was something like I don't know what they call it, but you squeeze it and we cut hair. Every now and then we squeeze it and we cut hair. My hair has been cut the one for years. There wasn't no scissors or no electric machines at the time.
All right, sir. Thanks for calling. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Listen, this call here has really hit the nail on the head because what I wanted to say, he said a lot. Yes, the only thing I would disagree on is that the teacher should have spoke to the parent and not, you know, do it online in front of, you know, the class. That's the only thing. But parents have to treat this online thing as if the children were actually going to school. You used to send your children to school tidy, make them look tidy the same way. I have two grand boys, and the thing about it, you should see on mornings, they make themselves look so presentable as if they were going to school. The parents don't have to tell them to do it. The hair must be in place, everything as if they were at school. Yes, so the parent, you know, especially for father, he can, you know, just make the little boy's head look a little tidy.
No, but his argument is that you can't get a haircut from the barber these days because of COVID.
I'm blaming COVID, blaming everything on COVID.
But COVID is, but that's a reality.
Yeah, but get the scissors, and as the caller said before my call, you know, just clip off a little bit here, there, whatever, just make it look, you know, a little tidy. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
That's all I have to say, because he said a lot more, you know, of what I would want to say.
All right. Thank you very much. Hello, Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello. Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Morning.
Yeah, Mark went there on the radio not too long speaking to you.
Yeah.
And then mentioning about the old house that the family living in.
Yes.
What he's saying is direct, is the truth. It is real bad with that family. If you see, I'm telling you, I cried more than once because they had to go there to carry messages that, like, people call here to give me messages. She ain't having the phone, nothing. So things is real bad. And children among real bad. Going in, you could scarcely get in. Coming out, the same thing. And if you're not there, if you're not to getting at that door, and scarcely got steps. Everything is real bad.
But how long has this been so?
Man, this thing now, but going for a while because, like, people calling, coming, pictures, text, all these kind of things, and nothing and do at all. And you would believe that you ain't even got somebody as a parliament leader to come and say anything. Things is real bad with this lady. Real bad. And got children that go in school. And I don't know who they make it. It ain't easy.
What about the people who live around them? What do they do?
The people that live around can't do no more than what they maybe do.
What do they do? What do they do?
Well,
if you sit down in a community and you realize that things are that bad. Huh?
And I believe there's gypsy things and that kind of thing, but what more they can do?
You said you believe.
No, I got to believe because I do things for her. I go, messages come here, everything, so that I can go and give she. If I don't see, if I want the children pass here, and you know, sometimes it's scarcely considered, I know them want help. And I believe something wrong doing. I feel that something wrong in the place. Something wrong, I tell you.
When you say something wrong, what do you mean?
When I didn't that this time enough that she had that because I beat you out a long time.
How long ago exactly was she crying?
Right now, this going years now that she in trouble, man. This going now years now that I believe about. I would say about many years now, man. I won't like to say it not direct because I don't want to tell no lie. I could say it and me, so I could say it about 8 years, 9 years, but yet I may be wrong.
So the question is, why would that go on for so long?
But I don't know because, and people know about it. People that can help. People that were running over here, this minister over here should do something about it. I know they know.
Is there a church near? There's no church near there?
You have Seven Days Church. One, two churches. You got about three or four churches around.
That sounds like community failure.
I'm talking about churches. Churches don't even do the duty as far as that is concerned. No more they pick up money. Because all they know people want help. And I hear churches doing anything. They want you to come to church for their money. But they ain't doing anything. So I left out the church.
I can't leave out the church because the church, in many instances, is doing a lot of work in the communities. There are churches that do so.
I don't see, and even to hear some of the people that are going to the church, they may not even believe that neither. So I don't know how that could be true. It's like for one person come and tell you, one person may get a hamper, and then the other 50 are going to the same church and get none. So what are they doing? You get who you love. You get who up top, and who at bottom can't get.
But this, it is not a good picture for somebody to be left in that situation for so long.
The situation is real bad, I tell you, real bad. And I will still say she's a young woman. I will still say she's a young woman.
How many children were you talking about?
At one point, two nice boys. And I believe everything is different. If you hear tomorrow that something happened and one of them boys getting it, they're forced to get it.
Well, I really think that is a failure of the very community in which they live. If this has been going on for so long, and there has been no concerted effort to see how that situation can be improved in a meaningful way.
You know, Mr. Ellis, that it's for me and Barbados, Ray Living, is only certain people can go and make things happen. It's certain people could talk to and they believe what they're saying. Like, now I'm talking, maybe I don't know if you believe, or maybe who else may have said that ain't true, but it's true. I poor, and I know that that's like that's more than poor. No water, no light. You making sport? I wanted to know if they even got saying a cup fund.
No, this one cries out for assistance.
Man, that wants.
And this has been going on for some time. From what you're telling me.
Yeah, but what he did tell you just said the same thing.
Yeah.
I glad that Mark brought up. Definitely. So I just
what surprises me in your contribution is that you're saying it's been going on for about 8 years.
It's going on. No, I tell you, I don't want to say because I could be wrong direct it, but I may have even said more. But it is, I believe it may be less than even 8, but it is a long time. And I don't believe nobody should live in this condition even for months, just a couple of months. Furthermore, I would say 2, 3, 4, or 8 years away, this. That's real bad. And a woman, and you know, it's hurt me to see a woman going like that. But even the young boys, I think they may make it much better. You got to go and beg somebody for water. Everything you got to be asking for.
Okay.
And nobody, you understand me? Nobody.
Okay.
Pictures, you know, Miss Pictures, they're up there already. I went and stand up watching pictures there. The ladies that become leave the car, even the driving that come here, and nothing ain't happen.
All right. Well, I hope that you and Mark drawing it to national attention today will help create an environment where something can be done to assist this woman and her 2 children. All right. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Somebody is trying to determine which political party the woman supports.
Good morning, Miss.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Oh, wonderful.
Yes,
now,
sir.
We are not our brother's keepers anymore, man. We even though we say we believe in God and everybody says God is a Bajan, but the Bible also tell you should love your neighbor as yourself. And you can't love God and hate your neighbor, or love God, profess to love God, and don't do nothing to support your neighbor. And some neighbors don't even pay attention to people who live next door. But I, the other thing is, the quick one is, I recognize that some time ago I heard on your station that they had 28 people in a church in St. Michael that added 2 more people and some test positive for COVID. I believe based on the what was put out there by the czar and the medical people, that they would have broken some law, the restrictions. But I have not heard anything. I know that I heard person who brought the curfew, a few people get arrested, some people get carried to court, some people had to pay fines. So I'm wondering what is the position as it relates to these persons who frequently brought those plans or those policies as related to the assembly of persons in any one place. I think that the hand of the law should step into place, because the more people that test positive, it spreads the welfare. Just the other day, I was listening to some station in the United States when Trump agreed that everybody should open in terms of religion. And there were several states, several places around there that the COVID spreaded and several people died and the thing went up from those churches. And when I heard last week that what some apostle was saying that they should open the churches, they forgot that they did that day and because the rum shops not open. But the boy doesn't drink that rum, the boy doesn't congregate in the rum shop. But if supermarkets open too, supermarkets sell more liquors than any rum shop. So people have to be very careful. If you are your brother's keeper, you have to determine that you don't want people to come into your church and spread this thing called COVID and make the community worse and exacerbate the position I have in Barbados. We are going on quite reasonably, and it puts more pressure on those people who want to go and trace people. If even one person in that church turns up with the virus, they have to go and do a community outreach to find out who they're infected. So we have to be more careful. I mean, have to be our brother's keeper.
And yeah, but I think you need to be careful, too.
And do foolishness.
You need to be careful coming to this conclusion, these people broke a law. they might have broken a rule, they might have breached some aspect of the regulations and stuff. But I think you need to get the details of these things before you come to the conclusion that the law needs to be brought to be used against them. I don't know the details at all.
I'm not concluding. I'm just asking if it is true that they did break any protocol. I'm not coming to any conclusion.
Oh, okay.
I will not do that. I will not come to a conclusion, but well, I just ask a question. Have a great one.
You do too. Hello, down to Brass Sacks.
Yes, good morning, Mr. David.
Morning.
Yeah, I there's so many things that one can talk about today. We can talk about the Weirwood Gate. We can talk about the unfinished business with the PM, AG, and the police appointment. But I would not dive into those now. I would want to, well, maybe not necessarily agree with the approach, but I'd want to still side with the Prime Minister for encouraging Barbadians to do some force saving. It's a scary term, force savings, but I think looking at the matter objectively, I think that Barbadians need to focus more on their future, and too many of them tend to say that they're not leaving anything for anybody. You know, they work hard and they're going to enjoy their money, and then the generation that comes along has to start all over again. So I think that any indication of encouraging Barbadians to create a mentality to save for the future is to be commended. But I don't want it to be framed in any political environment. But what I really wanted to address today, I'm not too sure if you were following or heard of this Beanie Man bounty killer clash in Jamaica.
Via Instagram over the weekend.
Via Instagram, right. Now, I maybe the only reason why I should be identifying with Beanie Man and bounty killer is that they would have allowed me an opportunity to find employment when they come. Well, at least when Beanie Man would be in Barbados, one way or the other. But I also am aware that thousands of Barbadians, the sort of behavior, but I don't want to use that word, the sort of approach to enjoyment, fetting and whatnot, is influenced by what is coming out of Jamaica, right? And being a man is no stranger to Barbados. I'm not being judgmental, but I'm wondering how Barbadians would react to that section or that part of the show when the police came on the scene.
Because the police needed to establish social distancing?
That is really what is up in the air, because I usually follow a vlogger down there, teach them, and he was saying that there was no clear reason why the police turned up, and he assumed that it was to ensure that there was physical distancing, but when he called the Ministry of Culture for an explanation as to why the police would be there, they were in the dark as to really if permission was given for the show to be held. And I think he quoted the Minister of Culture as saying that they had contacted the organizers, who were Americans, you know, to get some type of permission, but she did not receive the letter, you know, up to that point. And then it was also reported that the Prime Minister, Holness, you know, he was so happy about, you know, the whole incident, I mean, the whole situation. You know, he was happy to see Jamaicans coming together and whatever and whatever. But I'm wondering about the messages. I don't want to use that word subliminal because I really can't pronounce it like George Bush. But I would like to know what kind of nuances that this message, this exchange that Beanie Man, well, I didn't hear the police respond, but Beanie Man seemed to put the police on a guilt trip. he wanted, he's, do you want to be the guy? Do you want to be the guy? And he was saying to the world is watching, 500,000 people are watching. Do you want to be the guy? Do you want to be the guy? Now, sometime earlier, and I guess it ricocheted right through the Caribbean, where a number of people who were partying outside of the curfew hours were arrested in Jamaica, and subsequently is spreading through the Caribbean because a lot of them were arrested in Barbados. And that seemed a bit hypocritical that if they didn't have clearance, huh, that the police came on the scene and then wanted to be put on a guilt trip as to if, you know, they should be responsible, or they might be responsible for whatever breakdown or whatever would happen as a result of the intervention to maybe determine if they were practicing social distancing. I know Barbadians are, if over the years, the culture of Barbados has changed drastically because of the Jamaican influence. I would hope that this type of free approach to, you know, expression, no Barbadian, no group of Barbadians would want to put our policemen in a position of telling them, do you want to be the guy? And the reason why I'm calling today is because I read somewhere on Facebook a very well a noted commentator who was framing it in another philosophical, you know, picture of colonialism and whatever, you know. But that being said, that's all okay and good about colonialism. But the thing about it is that we have to be careful that the same way, and I don't want to sound xenophobic, but the same way that the underbelly of our culture was influenced for some in a negative way, for some in a positive way, I don't know, by this type of hybrid culture that is coming from Jamaica in relation with its music. I hope that we do not see that kind of approach from Beanie Man.
It's interesting that you should come with this, because how old is Beanie Man? Beanie Man is 46, Bounty Kill is 47.
Yeah, okay.
All right. To many people, these two artists really should have given way by now to a host of other new dancehall artists. But as I heard it discussed, it is that COVID has helped to create an environment where this type of show could be put on by these two, and it seemed to have been pretty successful.
It was successful. I'm not disputing all of that. All I am saying is that...
But what was it that they... This is... Because you give the impression that you used to be at Beanie Man shows and stuff like that, working in the past when they came here. So what they put on the agenda here to over the weekend, I believe, is no different from what you already know. The only element of this is the intervention of the police and the comment which was made by one of them to the police. But
against the background of COVID, against the background of a curfew.
Yeah,
you see, that's what I'm saying.
But how did the show get so far then? How did it get so far? Because.
I don't want to assume, because the police maybe were not aware of it, because the Minister of Culture could not give a clear picture as to if the people had the permission to put on the show. Sometimes shows are held somewhere up north in Barbados and the police don't know, and then the police just hears about it and they go up there and find out what's going on. That's why I'm wondering, I was hoping that Beanie Man did not want to put the policeman on a guilt trip by asking him, do you want to be the guy?
Yeah, but basically that's what he did. He says, when I look here at what is being said, the Jamaican government website states that a nationwide curfew is in effect from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. daily, and the interruption definitely fell in that time frame. Despite rules, Beanie Man had some words of his own for the officers. He said, we have thousands of people watching us all around the world. Do you want to be this guy? He could be heard saying to the cop, explaining to the 400,000 fans that the police are here, but we are not stopping. The police are gone. We are Jamaicans. We are being nice, he added before jumping back into the tunes. So that's what it was all about. And clearly, Beanie Man was seeking to put the police on the spot, and he was clearly using the 400,000 fans around the world to send that message. Unfortunately, though, Jamaica, in this part of the of CARICOM, has more cases of COVID than any other country right now.
Well, that's the situation. You see, I'm not a Jamaican. I'm not a sports person, none of them. But what I'm saying just here is that, you know, the whole thing of COVID, and they travel through the Caribbean, they're part of CARICOM, they're whatever, you know, so therefore we have to be aware of what are the implications of something like that, you know, without having the proper clearance and whatnot.
Okay, right. Well, thanks for raising it. Down to brass tacks, hello.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, it's 11:50.
My point is, first thing I'm talking about is the lady that Martin there was talking about.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that we all look to politicians for everything. But sometimes, yes, we have to help ourselves. We have to start helping ourselves before other people help us.
We who? The
we
woman?
As individual, yes.
The woman herself?
Yes. we have to start help ourselves. I mean, people see
right,
we are helping ourselves.
Let's you know. Stop and think it through a bit, though. You know, there are some people who, when you say start to help yourself, they may have specific challenges in doing that. It is only when you speak to a person that you would learn more about what is happening there. There's always the possibility that other people over a 10-year period or whatever time this man spoke about, 8 years, other people might have tried to put that person in a position to do better. And it is quite possible that the person has not had the commitment that is required. But until you talk to that person, don't you think it's dangerous to come to a conclusion?
Well, yes, it is, but sometimes that is the case, but I'm not judging.
Okay, please don't.
I'm just saying that sometimes that is how things are. If we start to help ourselves, sometimes we can get help from others. Okay, but anyhow, I'll stop off of that. Another thing is that I'm going to speak about now is that I heard a gentleman say this morning that you, when others come to the program and speaking, and they are speaking against the DLP, that you allow them to speak as long as they're like. I've been listening to this show for years, and I have not come to that conclusion. I have not come to that conclusion. To me, it's more that they want to talk longer than anybody else. That's how I say about. That's only my opinion. And, you know, unless you agree with them, they see that you're against them too.
Well, you know, I must tell you that I get fire from both the BLP people and the DLP people. I get it from both ends. And why do I get it? I get it because sometimes I take a position that I consider to be the right position to take from time to time.
Yeah.
And therefore, some people accuse you of talking through both sides of your mouth. I say to them, if that's what you see in me, I plead guilty, because I'm not here to just follow one side blindly. You know, if it merits being praised and being recognized, I'm gonna do that. And the same thing applies to the people who call us. You will find that we've had to entertain both BLP and DLP callers here over the years. Most of them will get the opportunity to have their say. We will present an alternative view to both of them from time to time. But they get the chance to speak, and this is how it's supposed to be. But running hand in hand with that is the occasional piece of abuse. And you can't escape that, because passions run high on politics, whether it's here or in the United States. There's some places in the hemisphere that it's very challenging to practice this kind of craft, I could tell you. Down to brass tacks.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Yeah, those guys, the callers I was talking about, the ladies' house.
In St. Joseph.
There is a house in St. Lucie in Hudson. There's an elderly gentleman living in the house. And more than half the house roof is collapsed, and the house is leaning on its side. And this has been so for the last 6 years. Nobody helped me. And that house is going to fall on me.
How you know nobody tried?
Because I stopped and asked him.
You stop and ask him. Nobody has helped him. And you have welfare department, you have constituency offices, you have all of this apparatus around us. And you mean to tell me that nobody has stopped? Sometimes people have stopped. But some, you know, we also have a situation, and I sincerely hope that people who are in these communities also bear this in mind. It is not just the government, but it is the people in these communities that can make the difference. And if you've seen somebody living in what you consider to be squalor or poor conditions for a long time, then there's got to be some mechanism within that community, even if it is going to the government, going to the church, looking for an NGO, looking for assistance. But having said that, there are some people who are resistant to assistance too, huh? They want it on their terms. And sometimes their terms are not acceptable to the people who are giving. Sometimes people take the resources and, you know, they squander the resources that are made available to them. So in all of this, it is trying to get to the bottom of it, trying to get a proper understanding of what has really happened here. Some people have also been assisted with jobs. They don't keep the job. They don't, you know, all of that is at work. So until you get into having a social worker or somebody get inside there to get the real, to the root of it, you may just be seeing the picture and operating from the premise that nobody else cares. You do. What did you do?
Well, I went to the guy and I asked him, you know, questions.
So you asked him whether anybody helped him. He said no. And what did you do after that?
Well, I didn't do anything about it.
No. Why? Because something stopped you. What was it? You were concerned enough to ask.
Yes.
So what happened? You just didn't feel that you could do something?
That's all.
All right, well, there you go. There's a distinct possibility that you could do more than you think. So why not try to see whether you can mobilize some support in that particular community? For me, I would think the first place to start would be with one of the churches in the neighborhood and see what can be done.
Something won't do anything.
Okay, you see, that's how it is. Something wants doing, but I'm not the person to do it. That's how it works out. And therefore, these people end up staying in those circumstances far longer than they ought to. This is Down to Brass Tacks.